Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, the Gospel text, which has already been read. So pitchers and catchers reported a few weeks ago, position players, baseball season's just around the corner. Baseball, it's not a complicated game. It's pretty simple. In baseball, the pitcher throws the ball in a way because he doesn't want the hitter to hit it, and the hitter tries to hit that ball pretty basic. As soon as the pitch leaves the pitcher's hands, there are only three possible outcomes. And we call them binary outcomes, either or. When a baseball is in play, three possible calls, ball or strike. Fair or foul, out or safe. It's a pretty simple game. And the rules of baseball are pretty consistent. They don't change. It's always been 90 feet between bases. The pitcher's mound has always been 60 feet, 6 inches from the center of home plate. And home plate has always been a 17-inch square with that pointed backside. Each side is made up of 9 players. And if you want to leave the game, you can't come back. You play 9 innings, however long those 9 innings take to play, and whoever scores the most runs wins the game. And if it's tied, you go into extra innings. If Christianity was a game, Christianity would be baseball. The rules are consistent. They don't change. Like the bulletin board downstairs says, Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christianity is not a complicated religion. In fact, there are only 10 rules. We call them commandments. And most of you know those 10 commandments from memory. Some of you are capable of regurgitating them word for word. So, in Christianity, you want to get to heaven? And who doesn't want to get to heaven? And a lot of religions make you jump through a lot of hoops to get to heaven. They make it kind of complicated. And you never really know for sure, have I done enough? Is that good enough? Or do I have to do better? And sometimes the rules change. In Christianity, there are 10 and only 10 rules. And God has recently given them to Moses on Mount Sinai. And now God says about those 10 commandments, quote, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his 10 commandments, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless the land that you are entering to take possession of it." Not very complicated, pretty darn simple. God is here speaking, we note, to people who are alive. God is not speaking to people who are dead. What will be the point? But to people like you who are alive and living, and you want to keep on living, don't you? That's the nature of living. It wants to keep on living. And the word if indicates a certain degree of uncertainty. And I mean by that, you don't have to obey the commandments. But if you do obey the commandments, then you will keep on living and eternally. And the other side of that coin, another conditional, but if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall surely die. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. He says to people who are living, doesn't say that to dead people. What would be the point? It's not a complicated thing, isn't it? Ten commandments, obey them, continue to live, quite simple, easy to understand, not quite so easy to actually do. And one of the ways to get around that, let's just say that one of those rules, one of those 10 rules, let's say you'd rather not obey that rule. Maybe even two or three rules. Maybe just get rid of the 10 commandments altogether. Happens. And then what happens after you get rid of the 10 commandments? Aaron Rodgers, you may have heard of him. He's a football player. He's always described himself and identified as a Christian. He's always spoken freely about his Christian faith. He said he's not the Tim Tebow type, but more of a quiet type of Christian. No more. Aaron Rodgers has stated publicly that he no longer wishes to be identified with the label Christian. And why would somebody do that? Why would you tell people not to call me a Christian, please? His problem on a basic level is that he was the victim of poor shepherding. It's a free country, and you can choose who you get to shepherd you. And in choosing a shepherd, he chose poorly. The false prophet he chose, Rob Bell is his name, he calls himself a pastor. It means shepherd. Convinced Aaron Rodgers that the Ten Commandments don't say what they clearly say. And Aaron Rodgers says that he finds the Ten Commandments to be, quote, too binary. Too binary. They're either or. Do this, don't do that. Too binary. And he's not a binary kind of a guy, says the man who makes his living playing a game that is extremely binary. There are lots of rules in football. I know about Aaron Rodgers specifically. He did buy a house with a woman he's not married to. But the sixth commandment seems to be particularly under assault in these parts. The sixth commandment, you know, the one that says one man, one woman, children, which is not as common as it used to be. All of us know somebody who are not one man, one woman, children. And you maybe know men who are married to men. And we allow them to adopt children. Story on NBC the other night. I don't watch Lester Holt, and this is why. It was a story about a 9-year-old girl who is becoming a boy. And isn't that a great thing? And if you, like him, know that you are, quote, a boy in a girl's body, go for it. And it was presented as just kind of a matter-of-fact thing. There's that. Sixth commandment. And then go down the line, starting with the first commandment. No other gods. You shall have no other gods before me. So we went to church last week, our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Honolulu. Then we returned to car, talking to the Enterprise girl. Said she was from Minnesota. Went to St. Olaf's. And I asked her if she was a Lutheran. That's a Lutheran college. And she said, no, mostly Buddhist, probably agnostic, which means you don't know. So she's going in the right direction. Not knowing is better than Buddhist. Christianity came to Hawaii starting in about 1820, and it took. It took, and it seems to be wearing off there. Seems to be taken in China, though. So we went to the mission house downtown last week, the two existing buildings used by the first missionaries to Hawaii starting in 1820. It's now a museum. We took the tour, and Kathy was very knowledgeable. Those first missionaries to Hawaii were sent out by the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, based on the East Coast, mostly Boston. And it was impressive. They sent like 12 waves of people, missionaries and others, to Hawaii. And the Hawaiians happily left behind their 40,000 gods, who hadn't really ever done anything for them anyway. They were made alive by the preaching of the gospel, and they embraced Christianity. And the Anglicans and the Catholics also sent missionaries. The first LCMS church in Hawaii, our Redeemer, the one we went to the last couple weeks, was established in December of 1945. December of 1945. What that means is that the others had quite a head start on us. And it kind of shows to this day, not a lot of Lutherans in Hawaii. Our cooking teacher, Linda, went to 16 years of Lutheran school, identified herself as a good German Lutheran girl. But not very many. Not very many. There were a lot of United Church of Christ churches in Hawaii. That's what that missionary group turned into. And that's the rub. That's the rub. Almost all the Christians in Hawaii were UCC, United Church of Christ. And you know, there's bending the rules, and then there's breaking the rules, and then there's throwing the rule book out, and then there's acting like the rule book never existed. And if you think it did, then you might have a problem. And maybe you should just leave. It's what the American Methodists said to the African Methodists not too long ago, who wanted to talk about the Bible and the things the Bible says. Why don't you just go back to Africa? And when I think of the United Church of Christ, the church that missionized Hawaii, I will always and forever think of the copier salesman who stopped by my office in Farley, Missouri in the early 90s. He said, "You're Missouri Synod, right?" I said, "Yes, we are." And the man turned and sold me a copy machine and says, "And you want to let Missouri Synod people come to communion?" "Pretty much, yes, we do." And he says, quote, "Lassie could commune at church if she wanted to." And that was the UCC 30 years ago. A lot of water's gone under the bridge for them since that, and you know about all about that. So what does happen when you change the rules? Well, as a matter of fact, our human existence is always going to involve binary decisions, Aaron Rodgers. Do this, don't do that. There will always be rules. Who's ever making them? The question is, who will make those rules? Well, if your God is self, then of course self will make the rules. And if your God is self, and self is perhaps the most popular of all popular false gods in this little corner of the world, or perhaps more to the point, what happens when one group changes the rules and the other group is still using the old rule book? And to speak to the current situation of Christianity in America, what happens when a few believe that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Sinai and that they are from God himself? Some people believe that. I'm in that category. And many more think of the Ten Commandments as suggestions to be taken or not. Perhaps to leave this one behind, change that one. So, I noticed that Sunday morning seems like every other morning in Honolulu. A lot of business is open, a lot of traffic on the street. You want to know what happened to Christianity in America and Hawaii? Well, the same thing that happens to people around here and all across America. And there are a lot of reasons why people stop going to church. Kathy, our guide, mentioned a movement among the Hawaiians to bring back the old culture. And the tall guy asked what that means. And she said, well, they want to bring back the hula dance. I don't think they want to bring back their gods. You haven't been paying attention, Kathy. So that's the first commandment. Don't have other gods. A lot of people have other gods. Second commandment, using God's name in vain. A lot of people do that. Don't even think twice about it. Third commandment about coming to church, there are a lot of reasons why people stop coming to church. Most of those reasons not involving being the victim of bad shepherding. Most of those reasons for not coming to church, you tell that reason to God, he's going to say to you, are you kidding me right now? That's why you don't come worship me on Sunday morning? Are you kidding me right now? Or some such thing. Fourth commandment, obeying parents, let alone teachers, pastor, the government. You know, when Christianity came to Hawaii, I mentioned one of the things they got rid of was the hula dance. It's part of their religion. I don't know that it is now these days. And this quote from our guide and other people, I've heard it before, the missionaries made them get rid of the hula dance. And every time I hear that, I think, you know nothing about how things work. Pastors don't make people do anything. Like, what exactly can I make any of you do? So the pastor tells you to get rid of the hula dance. Fifth commandment. You hear about the murders in Chicago, Baltimore, school shootings, small potatoes. Small potatoes compared to the 1 million abortions per year in this country. 120 babies will be killed as we sit here this morning, and we have one presidential candidate quoting from the Bible and saying it's okay. Seventh commandment, how many ways do people find to steal from other people? And people are very creative about stealing. Eighth commandment, how many ways do people find to lie to other people? Sometimes even when the truth will do, people lie. Ninth and tenth commandment, social media has made it easier than ever to covet more lives than ever before. So the Ten Commandments of Christianity is like baseball. Three calls, the rules don't change except after the 1968 season when they lowered the pitcher's mound. But if you read books like George Will's Men at Work or Tony LaRusse's Three Nights in August, there's a lot going on within that basic structure of baseball, but it's still just those three binary calls. So in Christianity, 10 rules, they don't change, and there's a lot going on within that basic structure, but still, there are just 10. In 1 Corinthians, Paul seems to be a little bit ticked off at the Corinthians. He seems to think that their factionalism is not a good thing. First of all, he traces it to jealousy. Secondly, he doesn't seem to think that's a good thing. Thirdly, looks like you got some political parties there in Corinth, and he doesn't think much of that. Some of you say, I follow Paul. Some of you say, I follow Apollos. And where's the commandment against that? Well, the thing about the church is that the nature of the church is that we get together and talk about things and come to a God-pleasing decision, and that happens a lot around here. Out in the secular world, not so much. It's about the vote. Second thing is, if you're going to get political, you're probably going to have to fudge the truth a little bit. That seems to happen with political things. And you might even have to talk poorly about some people. So the people who are in for Apollos in Corinth, you don't think they're saying, you know, Paul's not so great. Paul's not a very good talker. I think, didn't he used to kill Christians? And the political party belonging to Apollos saying, Apollos, who's he anyway? He's a foreigner. So, no commandments specifically, but yes, against the spirit of Christianity and those specific things that come with politics that have no place in the church. And then we look at these Ten Commandments and we say, yeah, but didn't Jesus loosen those things up a little bit? Isn't Jesus nicer than the Old Testament God? It's the same God, of course. Yes, Jesus loosened up on all those things a little bit, if by loosened up, you mean he reminded us how impossible, utterly impossible it is to obey them. He traces the things that we see and we do have their origin in the mind, in the heart. Hatred, he says, spawns murder. Lust is the origin of adultery. And you can deny doing the one, but you can't deny thinking the other, which is also a sin. So if, yeah, Jesus loosened the thing up a little bit, if that's what you mean, then sure, he did. So there it is, your binary option. Do not change the Ten Commandments. Accept them in all their harshness. Do what they say to do. Speak how they command you to speak. And think how they tell you to think. And if you do all that, then you living people will continue to live. And that's the law. And the law is unbending, unchangeable, and ultimately it brings death. That's the law, which convicts us of our sins. And when we've been convicted of our sins by the law, then we're ready for the gospel. Then we're ready for the gospel, the good news, the most uncomplicated thing ever, the gospel. The good news that there's another way to get to heaven, one that allows for our imperfections. The good news that Jesus, who is perfection personified, died on the cross to take away your sins. In holy absolution, your ear hears, and the brain comprehends, and the soul embraces the pronouncement of the forgiveness of sins. In baptism, the eyes see. The skin feels the water that washes away that sin. In the sacrament of the altar, you see, taste, smell, and touch the very body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And I'm saying these things not to dead people, what would be the point, but to people who are living. And it's fundamental to all life that we want to keep on living. You want to live? Believe those things and you will be saved. And it's as simple as that. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.